Last week, the second week in August 2011, a committed Christian who is also an elected member of the Scottish Parliament found himself in the glare of the media spotlight. John Mason, who is part of the Scottish National Party's majority government in Scotland, spoke in advance of a forthcoming consultation on civil partnerships, which will gather views on whether or not these same-sex relationships should become synonymous with heterosexual marriage. In putting forward a motion that individuals and organisations should be given freedom to believe and practice according to conscience, Mr. Mason inadvertently succeeded in causing anger on one side of the question and serious concerns on the other. Those who support gay marriage saw the motion as discriminating against gay rights and aspirations, while fellow Christians were very concerned about the MSP's remark that he was perfectly relaxed about gay marriage. In the following interview with Christians Together, the Scottish Member of Parliament speaks into the situation and expands on his views, motives and concerns.
Well, we have on the line this morning John Mason. Hello, John.
Hi, Colin.
Good morning to you. And you're the MSP for Glasgow Shettleton.
That's correct, yes, Shettleton, yeah.
Representing as a whole the Scottish National Party.
Correct.
Now, last week, John, you created a bit of a stir. I'm sure it's not your intention, but that was the fact nevertheless, and seemed to have, in a way, upset both sides of a debate running within Scotland on the issue of civil partnerships and whether that should become known as marriage. You were quoted as saying you are relaxed about civil partnerships. Could you maybe unpack that?
Yes, well, first of all, I felt there was no debate happening at all and that we'd had a steady stream of both a motion at Parliament and press coverage promoting the idea of gay marriage. And I felt really we need to have a debate and somebody needed to say something from a different angle. So I put down my motion, and the area I chose to really deal with was if we move into the area of gay or equal marriage and the churches are allowed to take part and some of the churches don't want to take part, then would these churches be vulnerable to be taken into court? Now, I think I accept there are other areas where battles could be fought. For example, is marriage only between a man and a woman? But in a sense, I felt that battle had perhaps already been lost, and I wanted to concentrate on this point of freedom of religion and freedom for the churches.
Right, well, we'll come to that in a moment if we may, but nevertheless, as a man of Christian conviction, being relaxed about gay marriage, is that the way you'd want to express it?
Well, I think I would probably make a difference between my own personal views, which I'm happy to share with people individually, but also, I mean, I am there as a member of both the party and the Scottish Parliament, and I think from a legislation point of view, I am relaxed about legislation being passed that a gay marriage should come into operation. Now, I fully respect those who would want to fight on that very point, but as I say, I feel that the battle I want to fight is to ensure protection for the churches and for individuals who do not want to get involved or don't want to approve these things. So from an actual point of view, if there was legislation and there were safeguards in place, then yes, in reality, I'm relaxed about it. Because in fact, it gives no extra rights to people that they don't currently have, as I understand it. But I do accept that some people would feel very strongly about the word marriage.
So what you're saying really is that the existing legislation allows for civil partnerships, and that's the status quo. And you're fighting on a different battleground.
Yes. I mean, for me, we're perhaps talking about, you know, how important is it that the word civil partnership is used or the word marriage? And again, as I've said, I respect people who would see a big difference in there. And obviously some of the gay community would see a big difference, and so would some of the Christian community. You know, to some extent, I do feel that, as I say, that battle has perhaps been lost because all the actual rights are already there, apart from the wording. So I think the thing that concerns me most, I'm not saying it's my only concern, but the thing that concerns me most is that churches or individuals should be forced into taking part in or approving of gay marriages against their conscience and against their beliefs.
And is this a situation which you suggest might occur?
Well, I think that is the fear of quite a number of the churches across a range of denominations, that if churches are given permission to officiate or take part in such marriages, and some refuse to, then whatever the intention of the legislators, it would only take a couple of people to go along to a church and say, we demand a gay marriage, the church says no, and then the church could end up in court. And that's the specific situation that I'm wanting to look at and deal with in this motion. But obviously, once we get to the consultation and the bill, there'll be a whole wide range of issues to be discussed as well.
Now, if your motion is designed to protect freedom of conscience, I guess, regarding the churches, is it surprising that one of your SNP colleagues, Pete Wishart, is quoted as calling your campaign a nasty little anti-marriage motion?
No, I don't think it's in the least surprising. I mean, I think I went into this with my eyes open. I've taken a bit of flack in the past, and I think it was predictable that I would get a bit of flack, because the other side to this is some people do not even want this issue discussed, and I think that is quite wrong. I think it would be wrong of the Parliament if we have 129 MSPs, and amongst the 129, nobody would actually discuss this. So I believe very strongly that it should be discussed, and I think I did the right thing by putting this forward to promote some discussion. And I've had a lot of feedback from people who say that it should be discussed, even if they don't necessarily agree with my particular point of view.
Now, the Labour Party Deputy Leader, Joanne Lamont, has said publicly, or called publicly, for Alex Salmond to distance himself from John Mason's coded attack on gay people. Is this causing a division within your party?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, again, you know, she's just following the kind of fashion and following the flow.
But she is nevertheless expressing the same view as many others.
Oh yes, absolutely. And I mean, I've never suggested that I'm in the majority in this. I am in the minority. Christians are in the minority. That's the situation in our society. And all I'm looking for is really a protection for all minorities, not just Christians, but for gays and blacks and disabled people and all of these things. That's the kind of society I want. And I believe that's the society that Alex Salmond and the SNP want. And Alex said on Newsnight last Monday that it is a conscience matter, and so there will be freedom for individuals, as there are with other conscience matters like assisted suicide.
Now, some of your early supporters within the party have since withdrawn their support.
I think some people signed it. I think some people actually signed it by mistake and then backed off.
Surely signing an important letter of support is...
Well, the downside of using electronics, as the Scottish Parliament does, is it's very easy to press the wrong button, but... having said that, I think there was quite a lot of vilification, frankly, and strong emails coming from the gay lobby, if you like. And I think some MSPs found that hard to handle. And I suspect others agree with me. And obviously, government ministers are not even allowed to sign motions, so that's one issue. But I suspect there's other MSPs that agree with me and were just nervous about putting their name to it.
But you've retained support by Dave Thompson, the MSP.
I think I've got three currently that have signed it. Yes, that's right. And, I mean, many people would say that perhaps my wording could have been better or clearer or more specific, whatever it might be, and I'm happy to accept that. But I think the general point is pretty clear.
Mm. Have you had support from any others of your conviction within the opposition parties?
I don't think anyone has contacted me from the opposition parties. I'm pretty sure that there'd be at least a few of them would support me. But, I mean, even if nobody supported me, even if no one had put their name to this, I still felt it was worthwhile to make the statement. The aim was not to get a majority or a huge number of MSPs.
On a wider question, does this not highlight one of the dilemmas for a Christian in the political realm?
I think it does, yes. Although I would suggest it's not just in the political realm. I mean, we tend to be in the public eye, but I mean, a Christian working in the health service has got many challenges. We saw down south Lillian Liddell working for our council in the registrar's department and her challenges. Lawyers face challenges, nurses, care workers. I mean, all of these people face dilemmas between their faith and what their employer expects. So I don't think I'm particularly in a that unusual situation.
Well, certainly that's a common situation, but within the world of politics, if, for instance, an opposition party came up with a pro-Christian proposal, you might find it difficult from an SNP stance to support them.
Well, generally speaking, in religious areas and conscience areas, you have a freedom to vote, and that would be true, like, of abortion, the death penalty, assisted suicide, these issues. I mean, sometimes there's a debate over what is or is not a conscience matter, but I think every politician has got a range of responsibilities. One of these is to the party, but it's certainly not to blindly follow the party. And I think, you know, somebody I respect greatly, although I don't necessarily agree with them always, is Tony Benn, who I think has had principles, and there's many others like that, Dennis Canavan in Scotland, who have not just blindly followed the party line. And I think that's a challenge for not just Christians, but all MSPs and all politicians.
Now, in the early days of the Scottish Parliament, it was still in its nappies, if I could put it that way. Scotland was rocked and split over the whole issue of gay matters. In terms of scale, do you see that happening again?
Well, I hope not, because, I mean, my hope is that we can have a civilised debate about this. And as we said earlier, some people don't even want to discuss it. But, I mean, I tend to be an optimist, and I'm hoping that partly because a bit of the heat's been taken out already, people have set down their positions, maybe once it comes to the actual Parliament, we can have quite a sensible debate about it all. And I think that happened to some extent with the assisted suicide bill, that there was quite a sensible debate. And that would certainly be my hope.
So we can look forward to the consultation in the autumn?
I believe so, yes.
And your encouragement would be for the country as a whole, individuals, politicians, whoever, to engage in the process?
Yes, I mean, I'm here. I'll certainly be listening to what everybody says in the consultation, and I hope other politicians will be listening as well. And then based on that, the bill will come forward and we will debate the bill.
So this would be an opportunity for anyone sharing your convictions to make their voice known?
Yes, I think, I mean, I would encourage people who don't share my convictions to make their voice known as well. And people will have a range of views, because I'm one at one point in the spectrum, if you like. I've had a huge amount of criticism from those who perhaps are more liberal, but I've also had some criticism from those who are perhaps more conservative, who think I should have taken a harder line. So in the consultation, that's an opportunity for everybody to say their piece. And I'm just one person in that spectrum.
And in the context of the consultation and for the man and woman in the street, what will be the mechanism for making their views public?
Well, I think that will be explained in due course. I understand people would be able to either write in, for example, or I assume there will be an electronic means of doing that by email or whatever. So that will be publicised in due course.
Right, so it'll be watch this space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, John, and I'm sure that we are all, on both sides of the debate, interested in this very important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a recording brought to you by Christians Together, the website serving the Christian community in the Scottish Highlands and Islands, and it can be found at www.christianstogether.net. That's christianstogether.net.